Well, hello, everybody listening live and those who you might be listening later to this recorded. This is Jack Canfield. This is our Train the Trainer Q&A call with me on Tuesday, August 7th. I'm very excited to be on the call. I've had a wonderful couple of months since I saw you guys last. Been all over the world, really. It's pretty amazing. Russia, Dubai, India, and also cruise down in Mexico and our TLC meeting up in Whistler, Canada. Lots of good things coming out of that, some of which I'll be sharing with you at our upcoming meeting. Just spent half a day yesterday doing planning for our October meeting with April and Kathleen. But that's moving along nicely, you know, responding to the needs you guys have. Also want to let you know we're working on the idea. We know a lot of you are looking for marketing and enrollment skills and information. Lining up a couple of people to do some calls between now and the end of the program that will assist you with that as well. And I've also had a wonderful session with a woman named Sam Horn up at TLC, one of the most profound presentations on how to present your idea to people so they basically fund it or hire you to do it. So I'm going to see if I can get a videotape of that as well, because it was taped. Sure I have access to that. Show you that probably at in the October session, either during the day or an evening optional session. So anyway, excited to be with you all. We have one question sent in from Joan Newsom. I'm going to answer that question, and then we'll open it up for any other questions you have. If we run out of questions, we can share wins and other comments. If anyone has any ideas or input on any of the questions, in addition to what I say, you're welcome to throw that in as well. So, Joan writes, what can I do for follow-up for my workshops? I want to help people actually take action after my workshop is over. I feel a little stuck on this aspect. Thanks. P.S. My next workshop is on September 9th at the local acting studio in Albuquerque. The director is helping me recruit participants. Well, that's great, Joan. So to go to the question, what you can do for follow-up so people actually take action on what they learn, there are a number of things, all of which contribute to it. Probably the most powerful is to have everyone create accountability partners before they leave, go over kind of the mini steps of a mastermind group in terms of, evoking a higher power, being on the phone on a regular basis. I recommend for really active participation to get people to take action would be a minimum of 5 phone calls a week, Monday through Friday. These are short calls, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. You guys have done these. You know what they're like. And when people are being held accountable by somebody else, they tend to want to get the job done because they get tired of saying, I didn't do it, I didn't do it, I didn't do it. And so that call can be, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 minutes max, and report in on what you committed to do the day before, what you actually did, and then what you're committed to in the next day, the following day. Like if you're doing this in the morning, your call would be for what you're going to do that day. If you're doing it in the evening, it would be for what you're planning to do the next day. And the main thing here, again, is if someone didn't accomplish what they set out to do, it's not a time to listen to their excuses, their reasons, their justifications, their explanations, their complaining, their whining, their blaming. All that does is reinforce that as a technology for not producing results. So basically, really work with people. Teach them the process. Let's say you're doing a one-day workshop, you could have them set a mini goal for something they're going to do over the lunch break, have an accountability partner they come back to and report to, so they get the idea. And then before the end of the day, have them pair up with people, exchange phone numbers, and commit to a time when they're going to do that. The other thing, ancillary to that, is you could do a weekly mastermind group as opposed to or in addition to an accountability partner. I find it best when the accountability partners, if you have pairs of accountability partners, and then maybe 3 pairs in the same mastermind group, it just bonds and creates relationships deeper and holds people more accountable. In addition to the reporting in on what they did or didn't do in terms of the action steps, mastermind groups can also brainstorm, and accountability partners can do this too, brainstorm solutions, brainstorm next steps, open up the Rolodex, recommend books, et cetera, so you keep people moving and active. And the key, again, is having a commitment before they leave. Another technique is kind of what we're doing today, although it's different, but you can have a group coaching call where you, Joan, or whoever's running the group, can agree that maybe once every 2 weeks for the next 6 weeks you'll get on the phone for a half an hour and deal with questions. Or you can do a whole hour, depending on how much time you want to give to it. But when you're starting out, my point of view would be to give as much time as you can to any client, assuming you're in that position where you're trying to fill up a schedule and get clients, such that you have successes, because then you get testimonial letters, people talk about how well it's going. And the other thing to remember, whenever you're doing a coaching call, when people get off the call, they tend to talk about the fact that they were on a coaching call that day. Oh, really, with whom, on what? And so it's a way of keeping you top of mind, and also referral marketing that comes out of that, because people are still engaged in the process and talking about it with their friends, and their friends are seeing them succeed. And so it tends to, you know, fill your next workshop, or, you know, get you your next consulting contract. Another thing to do is to get people to commit to rewards and consequences for achieving or not achieving their goal. For example, let me go back one step. And I'll get to that because I wrote something down here I want to say. Like, for instance, when we did our Maui workshop, we get people involved with either accountability partners and or mastermind groups. We do a mastermind group for 2 hours every single day of the Maui retreats. And so, you know, there's been four of them by the end of the workshop, or three. Sometimes we take a day off. We go, not day off, but we leave early for a sunset cruise. But basically, they've been in that process. And in Maui, there was a woman named Anya from Colorado. She's a child and family therapist. She was actually involved in coaching people after the recent mass shooting in Aurora, Colorado. And she ended up having articles in the newspaper and television interviews and so on and so forth. But one of the things she wanted to do was write a book. And so we got her to make a commitment to Jesse on our staff, Jesse Agnello, to send her writing at least once a week. And so she's been sending sometimes three pieces a day, because she just really now has someone holding her accountable. Someone's expecting to get that. And so if she doesn't do it, you know, Jesse will give her a call and say, hey, what's going on? Which she hasn't had to do yet. But just knowing that someone out there is waiting for you to follow through makes a difference. Now, what you can do is build in rewards and consequences, such that you say, if I complete, you know, three chapters of my book by this date, or if I write, you know, two pages a day, or if I make five outgoing marketing calls a day by the end of 30 days, I'm going to give myself the following reward. And it might be, you know, dinner out with your family, if that's a big deal for you. I know for us, and we have so little time because I'm so busy, that is a big deal. Or it could be as big as if you achieve, you know, finish your PhD program, you're going to buy yourself a car you want all your whole life, assuming you have the money to do that. Or it could be buying yourself a massage, or taking a day off, or going to the spa, whatever it might be. So the inner child who has to, you know, forego pleasure while they're perhaps achieving this goal, while they're working out or not watching TV because they're writing, etc., they get a reward at the end. What we like to do with the laser coaching, as you remember, is to build in a consequence. So if you don't do this, are you willing to write so-and-so a check for X number of dollars? I think with Anya in the, you know, from Maui, who's sending things to Jesse, I don't remember what the consequence was, but there was one where she had to write Jesse a check for like $500 or something like that. So knowing that you have a consequence that you don't want to have to pay, and you can make it really painful, as I mentioned, I think, in the workshops, one of my friends, Martin Roop, set the penalty. He's Jewish, and he set the penalty that if he didn't achieve his goal of learning to dive off a diving board, he was going to write a check for $1,000 to the Ku Klux Klan, which is a very anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish organization. So obviously he didn't want to do that. The other thing is, by making a public declaration of the goal and the consequence, so now the community at large, or your family, or the other people in the workshop, are holding you accountable to that goal. The other thing you can do is you can post people's wins on Facebook. You can have a your website. You can have a call like this where people share their wins. so they know that that's coming up and that's exciting for them. We just did a graduate call for the May Maui group, and basically there were a few questions, but 90% of the call was people sharing their wins. Everyone went around and had 2 minutes to share what they had achieved, and people really liked hearing that, and it was really exciting. In fact, I was blown away with how much people had gotten accomplished, and a lot of that, again, was they have a Facebook community, they have accountability partners, and they're in mastermind groups that work for them. Another thing that will support this is if you reread the chapter in the Success Principles on Scorekeeping for Success, the idea that you have some system for keeping score. Like right now, I'm on a little bit of a weight loss jag. I got up to about 224, wasn't paying attention, was traveling a lot, being taken out to dinner and so forth by my host, and not having a lot of time to exercise in the morning because I was up catching a plane to the next city and going to bed late because I was going out to dinner with the people that were hosting me. I got home and said, I need to lose weight. So I've lost 10 pounds in the last 2 weeks, but I keep score every morning. First thing I do, I weigh myself, to tenths of a pound. You know, so today was 214.6. And basically, I know what's going on. So we say you can't manage what you can't measure. And so by building in a scorekeeping system, whether it's number of pages written, number of minutes focused on some thing, number of push-ups done, number of sales calls made, number of hours. If you're doing a workshop for actors, it might be number of hours reading and memorizing script, or number of times that went over and rehearsed a certain scene, or number of casting calls one went and applied for, et cetera, so that's a powerful tool. And you can keep score on anything from a piece of paper to a 3x5 card that you carry around to an Excel spreadsheet in your computer. But that daily entering of some aspect of, how many pounds lifted, how many reps, how many miles walked, whatever it might be. And the goal, there's a natural tendency in human beings to want to improve. That's why golfers continue to golf. They want to bring their score down. They want to get below par. People that go bowling keep wanting to get that score down. People that are baseball players want to get their batting average up, and they keep, impeccable statistics. So that's a good technique. And lastly, a couple of quick things, affirmations and visualization. If you do affirmations, you affirm the goal that you want to achieve, and you do that every day, and you can put them on 3x5 cards again. The more support you give people, like handing them out a 3x5 card to write an affirmation on, or some kind of, system that you might have for them, that will help them. And then visualization. We know that visualization does three things. It opens up the reticular activating system. It helps you come up with creative ideas. And it helps you expand your motivation. You remember that diagram where you have a goal, you have your vision, there's the goal, then you have your current reality. That creates structural tension. Structural tension builds up this creativity. You get creative ideas, you start seeing things in your environment you never saw before, and you wake up motivated after doing that for about 20 days. So helping them to really commit to do affirmations and visualization will build up the more higher potential they'll actually take action. If you have a handout, there's a woman named Pooja from India, took Train the Trainer, not this year, but a year ago, and she created this really wonderful form where it says my breakthrough goal, my life purpose, my five top passions, my affirmation, and my next five action steps, and so forth. Well, it's all on about the size of a placemat if you were to go to McDonald's or someplace like that and they put a placemat on a tray. And so people are recording all of this instead of in a notebook like we do at Train the Trainer on one form, and then they take that form with them and she has them put it on their refrigerator. So again, this idea that you're constantly seeing this thing to remind you of what you've committed to do. I think their accountability partner and phone number also goes on that form. If you get people to do a vision board, like on their on their refrigerator or their screensaver, that's one more thing that will remind them what they've committed to, what the goal is. And lastly, I would say if people leave with an action plan for a couple of weeks, like, over the next 14 days, I'm doing this on Monday, this on Tuesday, this on Wednesday, this on Thursday. So if they get it calendared in their system, and that's something you help them do before they leave the workshop. Some trainers I know ask people to bring their computers with them, so they put it in their Outlook calendar, or they bring their day timer notebook with them, so they write down. So literally, if you're going to exercise, every day for 14 days, they go and say, well, what time are you going to do that? 7 o'clock in the morning, great, let's open it up. Monday, 7 o'clock, exercise. Tuesday, 7 o'clock, exercise. Wednesday, 7 o'clock, exercise. So that you have it in your calendar. We say if it's written down in your calendar and scheduled, it's more likely to happen because now you're seeing it rather than having to remember it. So those are a number of ideas to really support follow-up. And I hope that's helpful. And Joan, if you're on the call and you have a follow-up question to your question, feel free to ask it. Or if anyone else has a question about my answer or anything else you'd like to jump in and share about Joan's question, just hit *6 and that will unmute you. We'll wait about 30 seconds, and then if there's none of that, I will see if anyone else has any questions. So we'll just pause for a moment.
Hi, Jack. This is Alyssa Bakar. How you doing?
I'm good, Alyssa. How are you?
Good, good. Great, actually. Thank you. So a question for you in terms of following up from events. So Amy, Katie, and I are putting together our full-day workshop in New York here, Fit, Sexy, and Free. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have a follow-up event, a two-day retreat event in Manhattan in January. Mm-hmm. So this, I'm glad Joan asked it because I would have asked almost the same thing. But some of the things we want to invite people to create a community and create that accountability. So if you could give me just a little bit deeper insight into threading the community together from September through till January, how could I implement some of these things most effectively?
Well, I go back to what I said. I think, the three main things would be, number one, get them into accountability partners. Number two, get them into mastermind groups. And number three, I would do some calls like we're doing now and let people bring up their challenges, their questions, and their successes, their wins. And the wins, surprisingly enough, actually are more bonding than almost anything. The challenges and questions they have will usually be fairly universal, just like you're saying. I can relate to Joan's call. To Joan's call and her question. And so normally people have very similar questions because the human condition is such that most of our resistances and our fears and our limiting beliefs are fairly common. So that would be a good thing to do. The fourth thing you can do is you could have an email blast on a regular basis, like a little e-zine that goes out. Let's say you've got 30 people in your group or 100 people or 20, whatever the number is, you'll get their email addresses from them. And then you can address to them once a week, every other week, once a month, whatever you want, some kind of, outgoing mail that to them that basically shares perhaps an article you just read or a website you just went to or a YouTube video you just saw that might reinforce their learnings, a book they might read. Whatever it might be is something that reminds them they're part of that community. If you set up on Facebook a community like we have for you guys, and that's easy enough to do, if you're really confused about it, I'm sure that Jesse or Andrea on our staff or Sam, one of those people, could help you with how we do that. It's not that complicated, but it does take knowing how to do it. And then you can have people post things. And you and your co-leaders definitely want to go in on a regular basis and read those posts. Post things yourself so that they are staying up with what you're learning and doing. You can tweet to the people. Make sure that they know, they sign up for the tweet. That's another good way to keep the community going. So those would be, I think, the main things I would suggest.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Any other questions or comments? Just hit *6. That will unmute you. Come on in, say your name, and ask your question or make your statement.
Jack, this is Sergio. Question for you.
Yes, Sergio.
When we have a group of people and we're working on your vision, and then on, well, you already worked through your purpose. You're working on your vision statement for each of the areas. How much time do we give them? Do we let them finish all of the areas? Do we want to go just one or two areas? Or how do you balance it out? Because some people go...
I think it all depends on how much time you have. For example, I'll be doing a talk on Saturday. I'm doing a talk Saturday for a company called Isagenics. There'll be about 3,000 or 4,000 people in the audience, and we won't have a handout. And I still want to talk about vision. So I might just take two or three areas, given that this is a network marketing company. They're there. The company's hired me because they want people to sell more stuff. And the motivation for that is if they do that, they make more money. So I might say, if we want to look at three aspects of your vision, number one, financial, number two, job and career, number three, I could either pick relationships because it's a relationship business where they have a downline that they have to relate to. A lot of these people are single moms where they, you know, value the relationship with their children and they want to make sure that's intact. Or I could pick free time, you know, something they want to do for more free time. Or if it's a fourth option, might be just pick fun and fitness, I mean fitness and health, health and fitness, because this is a company that basically sells health products, weight loss, cosmetics, exercise, et cetera. So, you know, I wouldn't overwhelm them in a one-hour or 90-minute keynote or a 90-minute workshop. It could be a breakout workshop. It could be what I call a keynote experience where it's not just a keynote me talking, but I do exercises. I mean, that's really the thing we're teaching you all is how to make this experiential. So if it's a, you know, I might give them 1 minute each of those three to think about what they'd like in that area if we were sitting here a year from now, and then write it down, another minute for the next one, another minute for the next one, and 3 minutes, we're done. If it's a one-day workshop, I would probably do all seven categories, or you could, again, focus it on, you know, the theme of the group. If you're doing, like, you know, you do a lot of work in education, you know, you could have an area called education instead of job and career. But the key thing is, when I'm doing a longer workshop, is to give people a little more time. So I would describe the arena, like, you know, personal means spiritual growth, emotional growth, educational growth. It also means possessions, things you want to have, do and own. So I would unpack that for them. And then I would say, and I'll take a minute and see what comes to mind. Sometimes I do it as a guided visualization where I have to close their eyes, do a deep breathing, kind of like, you know, where you breathe through your heart, get into that very loving, appreciative state. So you're now tapping into their spirituality as opposed to their intellectuality. And then you could go through each category with their eyes closed and just see what images come. That's a deeper way to do it than just, you know, paper and pencil. Now, if you do the visualization, that way when they come out, have them write what they got in each of those areas. So, you know, if you're doing a really intense small workshop like we do in Maui, you know, we might give people 2 or 3 minutes for each section because this is really kind of a, you know, this is the next half of your life. What do you want it to look like? So it's more than the next year. Or we might do 3 years out or 5 years out, and you want to give people a little more time about what their ideal life would look like in those arenas. You know, anywhere from a minute to more. Now, I've done really short talks, like maybe 30 minutes, where I want to at least introduce the idea of vision. And I would just say, you know, think of one thing in the area of personal you'd like to have. Think of one thing that would be different a year from now in finances. And I'll just go, well, I'd be doubling my income. That took all of 5 seconds. So again, you're basically adjusting it based on the time you have and how much stuff you want to get through. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. Thanks.
Sure, no problem. Anyone else? *6, unmute yourself, ask your question, make sure you state your name.
Hi, Jack, this is Colleen.
Hi, Colleen.
I just had a quick question on when I'm putting my seminars on, because I've also started a meetup group to teach these on a monthly basis, hopefully to expand to at least twice a month. But when I'm explaining a principle like success principle number one, taking 100% responsibility, my group is called Transform Your Mindset for Success. But when I'm explaining the principles, do I call them success principle number one, success principle number two, or do I just call them the principles, or I wasn't sure how to what to call them when I'm talking about them.
You can call them anything you want.
Anything I want.
You know, like sometimes when I'm doing a workshop and I'm going to cover seven principles, I don't use the same numbers that are in the book. I just say, you know, we're going to cover seven principles today. The first one is, and then at the end I review them. So the main thing for you is it's more about the name of the principle. You know, the first principle we want to look at is taking 100% responsibility for your life and your results. The second thing we want to look at is, you know, being clear about your purpose. So, you know, if it helps you to refer to the book because you're going to give the people a copy or they're going to buy one or that's, you know, a textbook for the course, then go ahead. That kind of keeps it consistent. If you're not, then, you know, you can just name them and number them however you want.
Okay, great. I just wanted to, you know, make sure that when I was doing it, you know, because I know you said don't call them the success principles when we're presenting it, you know, come up with our own name.
Well, the,
and then I'm in the middle of talking, and I'm like, okay, what am I calling these things?
No, what I said was, you know, don't call your workshop Breakthrough to Success or the Success Principles, because those are copyrighted names. But
sure.
The actual names of the principles themselves, feel free to use. And I like the name of your workshop, Transform Your Mindset for Success. It's brilliant. And, you know, there you go.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Anyone else? Star 6, say your name. If you're even thinking about it, this will be the time to jump in. Well, if no one has any questions, we've got about 30 minutes left if we want it. We don't have to use it, but if someone would like to just jump in and perhaps share a win or make a comment, talk about what's going on for you, it's always fun to hear what people are doing and the successes you're having. So feel free to jump in with that. Again, star 6, say your name.
Hi, everybody. It's Alyssa Bakar again. I'd just like to share that this workshop and this opportunity to work with you, Jack, and with the rest of you stellar folks has stretched me beyond belief. My life is changing and growing in ways that 6 months ago I never dreamed possible. So I just wanted to say a big, big thank you to everyone.
Oh,
and it's happening.
That's exciting. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Hi, Jack. This is Teresa.
Hi, Teresa.
It took me forever to figure out how to unmute. Anyway, so I am fortunate enough to be scheduled to give a 15-minute talk at a small conference with women, high net worth women, in a couple of weeks. And so 15 minutes, as I discovered, you know, at Train the Trainer, is a very small amount of time.
Yes, it is.
And as I'm putting this together, I'm just, you know, like going around and around about what I want to say and how I want to structure it. So what wisdom could you give me as I work on this?
Well, first of all, let me commiserate with you. I just gave a 20-minute commencement speech for Kaplan University. And as Woodrow Wilson once said, when I have an hour-long speech, I don't plan much. When I have a half hour, I have to plan for 2 hours. When I have 10 minutes, I have to plan for 5 hours. Because the shorter the speech, the harder it is to figure out what to say. I think the main choice you have to make is this. Are you going to pick one or two or three key points, make them really powerfully, or are you going to try to give an overview of something, you know, bigger, which is touching on things? I would say with 15 minutes, no more than 3 points, and you might even be better off saying, you know, what I've learned is blah, 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 blah. Today what I'd like to focus on is one aspect of that, you know, that most people don't, you know, realize or practice or whatever, then you can pick responsibility or goal setting or, you know, whatever it is that you most want to communicate to them. If they're high net worth women, then you want to kind of think about what is the reality that they're facing with. If they're high net worth, they probably already are fairly successful. Maybe the issue is more about balance. Maybe the issue is more about philanthropy, service. You know, I don't know. But the point is, you might want to see if you could talk to a few people in that arena or the conference person who hired you or who allowed you to speak to give you more of a sense of who the people are and what their issues are. But generally, I would say no more than 3 points. You want to have at least one moving story so that they go, whoa. You want to have an emotional experience. One of the things that this Sam Horn taught us at BT, at the train that, the Transformational Leadership Council. We got all these initials, TLC, TTT, BTS. Anyway, she said one of the ways to really capture people's attention quickly is with three facts that are related to your topic that most people wouldn't know. Like, I'm going to make up stuff because I don't have any compelling facts on a topic in the top of my head at the moment, but it might be like, did you know that 38% of all women in California have been sexually abused by the time they're 18? That actually is a fact. Did you know that 50% of those people will never tell anyone about it? And did you know that there's no consistent program in the state of California for dealing with that issue? Well, a lot of people wouldn't know that fact. Then you say, imagine if there was a program, a solution, whatever, to that problem, and you kind of lay out what that might look like, and then you say, well, you don't have to imagine it because there is one, and it's my book, my program, my whatever. And then she said you have to have what she calls a dog on a tanker story, and the idea is that you want to talk about the a story that's so moving. There was a dog, actually, that was on a tanker coming from wherever the oil comes from, probably Saudi Arabia, across the ocean, and this tanker caught fire. And they had to abandon the ship. Everyone got off, and then the captain realized that he'd left his dog on there. But by then, they were far away from the ship. And he was interviewed. The story went out over the wire. Tens of thousands of people donated money. They collected almost $500,000 to go save his dog. Then the Coast Guard, the Navy, did a major search. They eventually found the ship still burning at sea, and they rescued it. Cost the Coast Guard, they estimated $250,000 worth of fuel, time, et cetera, to save the dog. Why would all that effort go to one dog? Because we can relate to one dog where we can't relate to, you know, 38% of all the women in California. But if I could tell a story then about a girl who was sexually abused, who our program helped, and then it's a very touching and moving story, then people are very moved by that, and now they want to give to my cause or, in your case, sign up for your next workshop or buy your book or whatever the outcome might be that you want for doing this event. Or it might be just to get them to take an action. It's not necessarily aimed at you, but just to do something different in their life. So that might be a nice way to start, to capture their attention and then have one, two, or three points illustrated with a takeaway. And that's about as much as I think you can hope to accomplish. Again, do you know how many people are in this audience that you're talking
about? Yeah, about 50.
About 50?
Mm-hmm.
What you probably want to do, too, is have some thing that you're going to give away at the end of your talk. It could be a copy of my book. It could be something you've produced. It could be tickets to, you know, a local play that's going on in town, whatever it is, but something that has some perceived value that would be worth wanting to have. And then what you do is you say, you know, at the end of your talk, there's a fishbowl up here, or I'm going to pass around one while I'm talking. If you have a business card, please put it in there at the end of my talk or at the end of the day or whatever. I'm going to draw one of those cards, and you're going to win X, Y, and Z. And, you know, it's just something that they would enjoy having. And then what you do is you've now added 50 names to your mailing list, or 45, or however many people did it. Now you can send an email to these people when you're doing your next workshop. Hey, remember when I talked at the Women's Forum and about so-and-so? Well, now I'm doing a whole day workshop on that topic and more. I would definitely do that as well. And any kind of little tiny experiential exercise, whether it's like, you know, I'm going to give away this book, who wants it, and then you wait for someone to, you know, actually come up and get it. Because people will wave their hands, and you can say that's the importance of taking action. Most people never do. You got to get off your butt. Or, you know, doing a standing ovation for somebody. Just something that gets them involved. You know, you don't have a lot of time, but, you know, just something that a 1 or 2 minute exercise I think would be helpful as well. So I don't know if that helps at all, but those would be my
very helpful. Thank you so much, Jack.
You're welcome. Anyone else? Star 6.
Hi, Jack. It's Michelle Kaplan. How are you?
I'm fine, Michelle.
I have two questions. I have, for success, I've trained about 90 people so far since April on the success principles, and I just love it. So I just want to say thank you and looking forward to reconnecting with folks at BTS. My two, it's more the order. When I struggle with putting the training together, it's about the flow and the organization, what should come first and second, the whole outline and structure.
Sure.
And two questions. One is I've placed it now where vision and goals are at the end or near the end, like probably like three quarters through. It's about a six and a half hour training. That probably around hour number four, we're getting into vision and then goal setting. And I find that people are, you know, I give them time to, you know, just work, pick any two and, you know, that you want to flesh out. And folks are after like a few minutes just are not writing and kind of looking around. So I've kind of regrouped and said, you know, finish it afterwards. I could follow up with you one-on-one afterwards, that type of thing. So I didn't know if you purposely find it more effective, like I know you have it in the beginning, the vision, purpose, vision, goals. And from your experience, you know, any advice on, you know, if folks are not filling out the vision and goals, like how
yeah.
do you deal with that?
Tell me how you present it to them, and what do you say to them to set up the vision and goals part?
They really like the exercise. So my evaluation form, I kind of listed out all the exercises or activities that we do, and they could just quickly check a box of, like, keep it, you know, keep it or not, you know, and then if they want to put comments or feedback, they can.
Right.
So how I set it up is the I want exercise.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you want to acquire, experience, be, accomplish, and kind of get into groups, talk about it, and then afterwards, so it gets their minds going, and that's gotten good feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterwards, I leave them alone to create, and I kind of budget about 15, 20 minutes into creating your vision. And after about maybe 10, it's like everyone's like, okay, I notice people are starting to do bathroom breaks or
Probably giving them too long.
You know, okay.
I just think that, you know, based on my experience, I'll go back to what we said earlier. I would walk them through it one aspect of the vision at a time, keep them on track, maybe go back to what we said earlier, a minute per area or maybe a minute and a half.
Okay.
Just to come up with a vision. Like, you know, I'd like to be closer to my children. I want to double my income. I want to have a 3 vacation next year, whatever. Then you can go back in the second part of that 20-minute segment, and you can have them turn the vision into specific measurable goals. So if they see that there's a difference between an intention, hope, or vision and an actual goal that's measurable, how much by when. So my sense is they've run out of things to write down. It's not like they're bored. It's not like they're not doing it. It's like you're probably giving them too much time.
Yeah, and so to chunk it down, I like that
well.
Okay.
If you walk them through step by step, rather than giving them a whole bunch to do and then leaving them alone, you're going to be much better off.
Okay, great. And the other thing is that how do you this is mostly corporate folks. So where I struggle with is with the muscle testing, the energy work or talking about kinesiology. There's a lot of analytical, logical folks there, and they start challenging the data and things and I find that fascinating, you know, so I kind of churn the conversation and like, okay, we're a little bit out of our comfort zone. We just talked about that. Talked about that. So, it's a new idea. I could appreciate it. And just be open. Anything else that you would suggest?
I would say two things. Number one, when you're demonstrating kinesiology from the front of the room or, you know, grow longer or any of those exercises, it's a little challenging for people. But if you get them up, I mean, with grow longer, they do it themselves. That's where you tell your hand to grow longer.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I get 99% of the people, I don't care what the audience is, their hand grows longer. and then we just say, you know, just had an experience of that. And then the other thing is with the kinesiology demo, if you're getting a lot of kickback, you can either bring the person who just challenged you up to the front of the room, do it with them.
Okay.
Or get everyone up in pairs and walk them through two or three of them. Say, find a partner, preferably the same height, and now we're going to do, You're going to put your arm out to the side. The size is A and B. A, you're in front. B, you're in back. Put your arm out to the side. Ask them if there's anything wrong with their arm. Like, you know, they have a, you know, bursitis in their shoulder or whatever. You don't want to hurt anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to push down on their arm. You know, demonstrate from the front of the room while you're telling them to do that. Just enough pressure to eventually overcome the resistance. And now have them say their name. Great. Have them say, my name is a false name, and test that. Have them remember a success, test that. Remember a failure, test that. And maybe do one more. You know, and 90% of the people are going to have the experience.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's called, like, you know, it's not about me convincing you. It's about you just showed yourself this is what happens.
Mm.
Your brain is designed to be positive, to focus on the good, to tell the truth, to come from service, because, you know, we do the one where you focus on a goal, it only serves you, and then same goal,
mm-hmm.
focus only on how it would serve others,
mm-hmm.
which is one I've been doing a lot lately, especially with salespeople. That's a powerful tool.
Mm.
And they go weak when they focus only on themselves, and they go strong. They didn't have to change the goal, but you did have to change what we in California call your come from. You know, where are you coming from? Are you coming
mm-hmm.
from ego and greed, or are you coming from service?
Mm-hmm.
And we know, you know, there's a wonderful book you might want to read that's good for the corporate world called Be a Go-Giver, Not a Go-Getter.
Yes, I just got that. I didn't read it yet, though.
Yeah, but that's, in other words, it's valuable when you're working with corporate people. If you can hold up a book, or you have a slide with a book on it, you know, again, they're in their head. So, wow, it's in a book? Well, maybe it's more likely it's true. And there's a wonderful book called The Genie in Your Genes. Genie in Your G-E-N-E-S by Dawson Church. It's a book I'm reading right now. He's one of the foremost EFT tapping experts, which we're going to focus a little more on in October. And there's that book I wrote with Pamela Bruner that I gave you guys
mm-hmm.
On tapping into ultimate success. And he has so much data about energy healing, tapping, acupuncture, how it works, why it works. And so I just think it's valuable to, you know, get a few of those books under your belt. Don't memorize the whole book. No, I can't even do that. But maybe you'll find five different examples of things in there, or research studies that you can then make a slide of, or you can have a piece of paper to you can quote the facts. And then people go, oh, this is not woo-woo. This is based on scientific research.
Right. Great. I will get that. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Anyone else? Star 6. Question or comment or win?
Jack, here you again.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to share. I recently used the milling of my needs are as important as your needs.
Uh-huh.
And I've used it with diverse groups and companies. I've used it with corporates and with administrative assistants and everything. And it's very powerful because you see people's faces changed. And as you know, in Mexico, we tend to be submissive, very
yes.
submissive to authority. And it's totally a life changer for everyone there. That's been a very, very powerful milling exercise I've used.
That's very good, yes. There's a real submissive, especially among women and children, toward dominant men in that culture. And so getting them to feel more empowered and to slowly begin to realize I do have needs, they are important, I deserve to get them met, extremely important. So that's great. Cool.
Yeah, I just wanted to share that with you guys.
Yeah. It's funny. I was just going through my slides for BTS last night, and I was looking at that and going, yeah, I'm definitely going to do that. Is that good? Any other questions, comments?
Hi, Jack. It's Noreen. I just want to follow up on what Sergio just said. I'm doing it with weight loss, and it's been one of the most powerful exercises I've done. I'm now doing the mirror. People are crying. I'm doing the accountability, and we do the milling exercise at the open of every meeting, and it's been life-changing.
That's really good. That's one of the big issues with people with weight is they don't get their real needs met.
It is. It's amazing. It is so powerful. I'm starting a whole new program around it all. It's So thank you, and yes, I think it's universal. I think the whole world needs the mirror exercise, and I think the whole world needs a statement, my needs are just important as your needs.
That's great.
Yeah, so thank you.
There's a book by Janine Roth. I don't know if you're familiar with it, called Feeding the Hungry Heart. And it really talks about this issue that what people are really eating about is they're needing nurturing. They're needing to get their needs met. And when their needs are met on an emotional level, then they don't need to eat as much. So, again, this is a resource to back up and give you more depth about, people that are dealing with weight issues. I think feeding the
hungry
heart.
I'm up to 266 on the mirror exercise, and I am encouraging everybody to do it and really look into your eyes and say the words.
That's great, day 266. So someone's keeping score.
I'm keeping score. I'm working up to a year.
Good for you, my dear.
Actually, I think I'm going to do it forever because I think every day we need to acknowledge ourselves and love ourselves, and then we love everybody else better. So it's all good.
It definitely is. Definitely is. Good for you. Made me smile. I like it.
Good. You made me smile, too.
Okay, great. Thank you. Anyone else? Jump in. Star 6.
It's Lottie here.
Go ahead. Hi.
Hi. Just want to share a win, maybe not quite a win yet. It's going to be. I just decided to quit my job and start taking your work out to Denmark and Danish people and start on my own.
Wow. Good for you.
So when I come back from BTS, I'm going to put in my assignments and start up.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Very exciting. I remember being in Denmark 30 years ago doing a workshop, so now I don't have to come back there anymore. This is good.
I still like to share the podium with you.
Well, we can probably arrange that. That'd be fun. That's funny. I love it. It is exciting how many people all around the world now in China and Brazil and South Africa and Nigeria are now doing this work, it's thrilling to me.
Thanks. It's very exciting. I'm looking forward to it.
Very good.
And thank you, Jack.
Oh, you're very welcome. Anyone else? Star 6.
Hey, Jack, this is Gip.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
Hey, I've seen a number of different experts out there, people that are coming onto the scene that would really apply to those people like Latte and perhaps others and me soon enough to actually make a business of this. And you know, you've mentioned Brendon Burchard in some of your previous messages about the Charge and Experts Academy, and there are some others on the scene as well about marketing and about, you know, the business of success information and so forth. From your perspective, they probably all have their own either angle or agenda about what needs to get done, but didn't know if you put some above the others or some a little bit more holistic, or if you really want the marketing piece, you really need to go down this road. But I'd be interested to know who you know in this space, because it seems like that is starting to get flooded by, you know, people who could help the fledgling person actually launch a business like this.
So let me see if I have your question clearly in mind. Are you saying who are the best people out there that are in terms of marketing personal development?
Yeah, I mean it's really taking all the train the trainer and making a business out of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, you know, it really it, there's so many different people out there, and they're so different at what they do. I mean, they're all kind of coming from the same basic principles of goal setting and believing in yourself and taking risks. And, you know, then there's like, there's a million nuances in terms of, you know, affiliate marketing, sponsorships. Like Brendon Burchard, when he first started out, his big shtick was he knew how to get corporate sponsors, you know, write him checks for $25,000 to $50,000 to go out and talk and then just wear their T-shirt or give out a book with their brand name on it or something like that. Because Brendon was reaching the college market, which they wanted to reach. For example, Home Depot or I forget what the name of the company was, but a company like Kia, for instance, that could provide, you know, furniture for your college dorm room. So he started getting sponsors. He had a course called How to Get the Most Out of College or How to Succeed as a College Student. And he would get these sponsors to give him $25,000 or $50,000 to just let them have a booth in the back of his training room, you know, marketing to those couple thousand kids that would come to his training. So, and then, you know, he's transcended that now. He's you know, very high-powered, high-paid speaker. He's got two best-selling books, his new book, The Charge, he's giving away. He's putting ads in all the papers. He's spending a lot of money. I don't know if he's making it back. In terms of his books, but what he's doing, he's branding himself very strongly right now. But, you know, it's a lot of time and money that's being invested in doing that. He is filling up his workshop, so he's probably making it back. I've never spent that kind of money in public advertising, like magazines. He's been in, I think I've seen him in three different magazines, Forbes and like Wired and Success Magazine, with two full-page ads. But, you know, if you want to invest money like that, that's certainly a way to go. He's very intentional. I would say everyone I know who's taken a workshop with him, my students, been the number, which I've recommended they do, has come back and said it was really, really valuable. Pamela Bruner, who will be co-leading BTS, not the whole thing, but little segments of it, where we're doing the tapping stuff this summer, she just did a Brendon Burchard workshop, said it was well worth the money. There's a woman named Lisa Sasevich who does something about backroom sales. So if you have a product or you are upgrading people from a, like, let's say a three-hour seminar or one-day training and you want to get them into a coaching program, Pamela Bruner, when she started working with me about three or four years ago, she was making about $3,000 a month as a coach. And this year she'll break $1 million. And the reason is that she took Lisa's training and she learned how to market people into high-end coaching programs. She's got, I think, five people paying her $100,000 a year for coaching. And, you know, it's very specific, aimed at entrepreneurs, aimed at getting over your blocks, aimed at, you know, how to build your business. But in 3 years, she's gone from $36,000 a year to $1 million a year based on my program, Brendon's work, Lisa Sasevich's work, and, you know, she's taken some other things too, but those have been the main ones. Obviously, you have to design something and be able to deliver it, but,
yep,
you know, you can definitely get some more training in coaching, in tapping, you know, whatever you need, so that maybe 3 years from now, 4 years from now, you know, making five times your income. So think of it as a slow build. You know, a lot of times,
yep,
people want to just go from nothing to, you know, $300,000 in 1 year. It's been done. My Mykola Latansky, one of my students from the Ukraine who you guys met, did that, but he was just dogged. And, you know, the thing he's been doing that is just major is daily video blog posts. Every single day he takes a video of himself. Either his wife's there holding the camera or he'll just hold the camera out with his hand. We were at the Maui. He came to the Maui group, we just did in July, and every single day he was either interviewing me or he was out standing with the camera with the ocean behind him talking about what he just learned. So he's always giving value. And, you know, his workshops just got bigger and bigger and bigger because he was giving so much value. So Brian Tracy has some good work in that arena. Lisa Nichols is really good at helping people both publish books and find, you know, field workshops. She was the Black woman in The Secret.
Yep.
Those would be some good ways to start. And then also you could drop an email to me. I'll forward it to Lisa Williams. I know she was putting together a list of, I think it's published on our website, on our Facebook page or whatever. I'll ask Sam about it later. We can make sure it's there, but a list of resources for internet marketing and marketing.
Perfect.
And as I said on the beginning of the call, I don't know if you were there, there's a couple people we've been talking to. There's one guy swears he can get people to fill their coaching practices in several months. I met him at a speaker author network group meeting, and I've got his card. We're going to see if he'll come on and do a call. And then I know he's got a program that you can sign up for. And then there's another guy who used to work with Kennedy Glazer, Dan Kennedy, who's probably number one marketing genius out there. And he's the nephew of someone that was in one of our workshops. And she said, oh, I can twist his arm and get him to do an hour on the phone with you guys. So, as I said, we'll get some of that to you before the end of the year.
Perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome. We have about 5 minutes left. Anyone wants to jump in? I feel like a bartender. Last call coming up. Star 6 if you want to make a comment or ask a question. I'm going to wait 30 seconds. If no one jumps in, I'll assume we're done. It's actually 10:57. Well, I'm going to take that as an existential. We're complete. Look forward to seeing some of you at Breakthrough to Success coming up next week. We have about 120 people signed up right now from all over the world. I know a number of you all are going to be there. It's going to be our last seven-day version of this. We're going to do some different things next year. Looking at perhaps doing a cruise, a training on a cruise ship in the Caribbean. I just did one for a company in Australia. What fun. I came back going, we're doing that. And we're going to do some more Meet Us in Maui type workshops, although we sold our house in Maui. And we're looking at investing in an island in Belize, so we might do some work there. And also some other exotic resort destinations around the world. And looking to doing kind of more smaller, intimate workshops with people that go really deep. And usually having a co-leader. We just did one with Stuart Emery, who was the co-founder. Co-founder and also president of EST, which became Landmark for a number of years. Amazing workshop we did there. It was really fun. And so it looks like an exciting year coming up, and we'll see you all in October for sure. I'll see some of you in a week in Scottsdale, Arizona. Look forward to it. Until then, have a great time. Keep reading, keep learning, keep sharing, keep posting on the Facebook pages what you're doing. And if you have questions, you can always submit them by email. We'll take a look at them and try to get answers back to you as soon as we can. Love you all. I appreciate you and admire you and respect you and consider you colleagues. You're doing the one work of transformation, and I'm glad to be your friend, your mentor, and whatever other roles I might play for you. So take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Take care. Thanks. Bye.
See you, Jack.
Bye-bye.